Welcome to Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie, joined by Darren, and we bring you the news, reviews and recommendations of the latest theatre.
We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, and the next hot ticks.
Well, hello, Darren.
Hello, Natalie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, but you're in Spain and I'm in cold, cold England. How's that fair?
Is it that cold, really?
It is. Do you know, it was minus 0.5 today. Had to scrape the old frost off the windscreens and they had laid down salt on the roads. What temperature have you got?
It's late teens into the early 20s, so it's been all right. Today I did a beach stroll, had a cup of tea in one of the Cherokitos that were open.
Aww.
And yeah, had a nice afternoon writing and just taking some time out and some me time, really. So it's been good.
Totes jealous, but very pleased for you. You deserve it, darling.
I do. I really do.
So have you got a cup of tea? I've got a jasmine green tea today.
I'm actually teed out. I'm drinking water right now, so... I've done three pots of Earl Grey, so I think I've had enough.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I think that's, you've maybe, yeah, done that. So we've got less to discuss this week, actually, because you're away and I'm back in the first week of term. But I did go and see Musicals by Candlelight, and this was at London's Historic Actors' Church in Covent Garden. Now, Darren, I'm surprised that I had never ever been in the Actors' Church ever before in my life.
Shame on you, Natalie. They do a lot of stuff, a lot of theatre, especially in the summer.
I know, they do a lot of Shakespeare, don't they?
They do Shakespeare. They do it in the gardens as well. Ooh. So, yeah, there are lots of activities going around the Actors' Church.
And I've kind of been aware of that, but somehow never gotten round to it. And so I saw this and I thought, that feels like a really lovely, nice thing to do on a Friday evening. So I went with my friend and it was just beautiful. It was an opportunity to experience some of the greatest musical hits performed by this string quartet. And it was called Iconic Strings Quartet. And they're a distinguished group of award-winning musicians. And they played all the kind of timeless melodies that you'd expect. So Andrew Lloyd Webber, Sondheim, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and it's all by candlelight. So it's all just really pretty and tranquil and beautiful. And it had this lovely, enchanting feel. And they did songs from Les Mis and from Wicked, Mamma Mia, Hamilton, Chicago, Pretty Woman, you know, all the big musicals that you would expect. Yeah, it was all the iconic musical theatre songs and it was just wonderfully enchanting. And I mean, it was only an hour and they've got all sorts of seating. They've got VIP premium. I think you get a little glass of Prosecco with the VIP. So that sort of stops your dry January. But we sat on the stage area. So we were literally sat right next to the musicians with all the candles down. And it was just a wonderful evening. And I can't believe that I've never been to the Actors' Church before. I think they did well to get me and my friend Laura out of there because we were like, oh, look, over here, Noel Coward, there's all these plaques to all those famous artistic people. There's like Lillian Bayliss and Charlie Chaplin and Ivor Novello and Nicholas Parsons and Dame Marie Romba of the Ballet Romba and Dame Diana Rea, you know, just all these, Ellen Terry. And I was just like pointing out all these different plaques. And yeah, it was just a beautiful evening and I highly recommend it. I think it said something like, 6+, I think, yeah, any children sort of age 8 or under might find it not as interesting or engaging, maybe, unless they love music. Yeah, because it was only an hour with no interval. But it was lovely, really enjoyed it. Highly recommended from me.
Oh, okay, well, I might catch it when I get back then. I do like that kind of atmospheric kind of concerts. And I love Candlelight, so what's not to love about that? But I used to go a lot to their Christmas shows. They used to do like a Mad Christmas and stuff, charity evenings, where these West End performers coming in and doing Christmas songs, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. And then in the summertime, obviously the Shakespeare season they do as well. And, you know, it's all very nice in the twilight of,
yeah,
as the evening settles in and stuff. And yeah, the ambience of being in the centre of Covent Garden, but also in the grounds of a church.
Yeah, I just think about all the times that I have been in Covent Garden, walked past the other side of it, the back of it, where you see the street performers. I just thought, that's a beautiful church. And then knew that there was sometimes Midsummer Night's Dream in the courtyard or something. Somehow had never gone, considering I love Shakespeare. I'm you know, surprised at myself. But it was just like, oh, I have now been inside that iconic building in Covent Garden. It's just weird. But it was lovely to watch a string quartet and just see, I mean, it was four women, and they just, the facial expression and the passion with which they play their instrument, because normally when, you know, you go and see an orchestra, they're quite a distance away. I can't see their faces so closely, but because we were sat right up on stage, it was just beautiful. They're really feeling the music. And because there was no one singing, each of the different string instruments at different times took over the main lyric that the singer's voice would normally take over. So it was really clever, particularly when they did things like Helpless from Hamilton. And at one point, it was one instrument, and then it was the other instrument that kind of echoed it, a sort of like call and response moment. Just beautiful. Yeah, loved it.
And looking on the website, there's two shows an evening. It's a 6:30 and an 8:30 p.m. So the show's not very long then, no?
No, it's only an hour, as I said. Yeah, no interval. What's really nice is you can either see it and then go and have a dinner at a normal time, not really, really late, or the other way around, you can have a nice dinner and then go and watch the later show. So I just think it was a really lovely experience, rather than sort of racing into town if you don't, you know, work in town, and trying to grab something to eat really quickly before going to the theatre and then sitting on it for 2 hours, 20 or whatever. But yeah, no, loved it. It was nice. It was still the songs from the musicals, but it was a little departure from theatre for me. So a bit like seeing the Edward Scissorhands recently and seeing the dance. I do like to see a couple of other things. And as I said before, I desperately want to go to an opera now. It's been a while since I've been to an opera, so I'd quite like to go and get my teeth into something.
Yeah, hang out more in Covent Garden. I mean, opera, we're quite spoiled. I mean, obviously, you have the English National Opera at the Coliseum, and then you've got the Royal Opera House of the Old Opera. It's a lot going on in London and around Covent Garden. So we are very spot for choice in London.
We are. And then we both, independently of each other, went to see Roald Dahl's The Witches, with the book and lyrics by Lucy Kirkwood, music and lyrics by Dave Malloy, at the National Theatre at the Olivier.
Yes, we did. It was interesting, actually, because I wanted to see it for months and months when I first knew it was going to be at the National Theatre. And it's one of those things, again, it kind of came up, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I need a ticket, otherwise I'm not going to get to see it. And obviously it's not on very long, it's only a limited season. Whether or not it transfers or not, we don't know yet. But I went and saw it a few weeks back, and three of the leads were off. Can you believe that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kathleen Kingsley was off, but we had the amazing, who I really, really like anyway, so I was actually really, really chuffed that she was on, is Tiffany Graves. So Tiffany Graves is on as the head witch, the grand witch, as it were.
The grand high witch,
yes. Yeah. And she's phenomenal. I really enjoy her performance. And she was, I mean, I can't compare it to Catherine because I hadn't seen her performance, but what Tiffany did was fantastic. It didn't matter that the original lead wasn't on stage. And also, Sally-Ann Triplett wasn't on either. Her understudy was on. Yeah, I think it was Daniel Coombe that night, actually. But again, done a terrific job. And it's interesting because we have to really praise our understudies and our swings, because they are terrific at what they do. And a lot of the time, these kind of lesser known performers become stars within their own right because they were covering other artists and stuff. So, I really loved it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I loved it. Catherine Kingsley was great. I did get to see her. And oh my God, what a part. That is the part I'd love to play. My favourite moment, because I've been discussing this with my students all week, Darren, because I took 186 people to the National Theatre last Wednesday. So I took all the whole of Year 7 and then sort of 17 or 18 staff alongside that. So that was quite a magnificent feat of organisation for myself and my department. But the students absolutely loved it. And I was a little bit apprehensive before, because The Witches was one of my favourite stories when I was a little girl. I think it was the first, other than The Magic Finger, I think it was the second then book that I read from cover to cover all by myself when I was about, I don't know, six, maybe seven. And I was a little bit apprehensive that it would be a little bit babyish for year seven students. Year seven students are aged 10 and 11. And I was a bit worried, or have I gone, you know, for something that should be top end of junior school? But that show was fantastic and absolutely hit the mark. I think definitely the age group that that show, I mean, I feel it's great for adults. It almost had that, you know, you love a pantomime, don't you? And there's all the jokes that are in there for the adults as well as the children. It hits on different levels. And there, I was laughing out loud at so many moments of The Witches. And I think my favourite moment that I was discussing with the students recently was when they all come in for their annual meeting. They're in the hotel, and I had this light bulb moment where I realised that there's a reason why I call it the RSPCC, and it's because of Roald Dahl. And I had this light bulb moment. I've always got it mixed up, the NSPCC and the RSPCA, because in the book they call it the RSPCC, and so I was like, that's where I get it from. It's ingrained from my childhood reading. And there you go. I'm not an idiot. But yeah, the best bit was when they have their meeting and then they take off their gloves and then they take off their wigs and they take off their pernickety shoes. And then they did this, that incredible sort of hacker, animalistic hacker. Did you love that bit?
Oh, I did. It was, I couldn't really fault any of it, to be fair. There were some elements of it which are obviously aimed at children, and the elements of it which are just plain truthful to Roald Dahl's kind of, the way that he writes about families and children in a very dark way. And that was already very apparent on the stage as well. Yeah. But going back to Lindsay Turner, who directed it, she also directed The Crucible. Now, we both recently saw that, and it's interesting how different and yet how comparable you can be with the two pieces.
Yes.
In the sense that there's the dark elements of the storytelling and how children are portrayed in a certain way. I mean, I did really enjoy the National Theatre's production of, well, both shows really, but because we're talking about The Witches, let's concentrate on that for now. But ultimately, I think it could have been a little bit darker. I think you can't compare it to Matilda, because Matilda is a very different show. Obviously, same author, but the musical and stuff is done by a completely different team. But with Matilda, it still holds itself. And that's why it's been in the West End for such a long time. Where I think The Witches, it to me, it felt like a limited run show. It didn't have that kind of oomph that Matilda has. And that to me is a shame, because I think the story of The Witches, to me, is better, because I like witches, is better than the story of Matilda. But there you go, everyone's different and stuff like that, I guess.
I preferred The Witches to Matilda.
As the show?
Yeah, yeah. Because I like the storyline of the witches. I like the storyline of the boy and all the other characters that they brought into it. And the storyline's more interesting. Matilda, I like. But the bit where she goes off into her imagination and talks about the contortionist, or I always zone out at that bit. So I don't know. It just doesn't hit me. But I think this, because this is kind of new and fresh production, and I just love that there's so many, well, there are in Matilda as well, but opportunities for adult and children actors in the same cast. And I'll tell you what, the boy that we saw that was playing Bruno, William Skinner, he really shone. He was absolutely fantastic. He stole the show, and actually he was my colleague's friend's son, but he was brilliant. He just had so much cheeky charisma. He just set that stage on fire. He was brilliant. And just love it, all the little tricks, and the lighting and sound was very, very well. It's never simple, but it was very simply done, but incredibly effective as a result of that. You know, when the witches were sort of creating one of their spells, going and, you know, finding a child, and you just get this projection coming down of the claws over the surround. Really, really good. Amazing use of that drum revolve as well. Love the drum revolve at the National Theatre. Like, amazing, amazing use of that. Just clever, really clever. And a very ethnically diverse cast as well. I just thought it was brilliant. I'm so pleased that I chose that to be the show that I took all the Year 7s to, because they're still buzzing about it and chatting. And the programme was gorgeous. Bought a copy of that. And then the back of it is like a little activity book. I mean, I won't be doing those activities myself, but I'll pass that on to someone who will.
Are they too challenging for you?
Yeah, I like the word search, but you know, after that, it's there's a lot of activities I just don't have time for. But yeah, I mean, it's only running until it comes off at the end of Jan, I think.
Yeah, I know. 27th of Jan is until, you never know, it might get a little rebirth into the West End. A lot of the National Theatre stuff recently has been going into the West End.
Yeah, I think it definitely will.
I mean, you know, Dear England is just closed. You've got, obviously, Crucible, we mentioned already. Standing at the Sky's Edge is due to come up very soon.
Motive in the Queue, Ocean at the End of the Lane. We've been to a lot of press nights recently, haven't we?
Absolutely.
We've been very fortunate. Yeah. And yeah, and then Hadestown soon. Ah, exciting.
Yeah, Hadestown. Looking forward to seeing that when it comes into the West End. Yeah, that's the Broadway version of it, though. It's not going to be the National Theatre version, as far as I'm aware. But, you know, you've got a lot of stuff going on at the National Theatre coming up. I mean, NYE, New Year's Eve, I'm really looking forward to seeing Michael Sheen in the epic Welsh fantasia about the one man's dream of the NHS. But also, you know, recently we both saw The House of Bernarda Alba, you know, another successful play. I can't express how passionate I am about talking about Infinite Lives, you know, like a wonderful piece of theatre. Sadly, it's now closed. And then we've got Dear Octopus coming in very soon as well. So lots of really good stuff.
They've had so many, you know, and I think we did this in our roundup at the end of the year as well. And the effect that was in the National Theatre, I'd love to see that transfer to West End. And also, although I think it will probably only appear maybe periodically as an anniversary piece of, you know, sadly, of the events. But Grenfell, in the words of survivors, I'd love to see that production come back. I think it's a really important piece of theatre. The fact that the majority of it is verbatim, and I think it's a really important piece of theatre that people need to see, and particularly, you know, young people, you know, to just learn about things that have been, and the importance of theatre and. Yeah, how it can be just very, very different, that you can see very different styles and very different genres. But yeah, the National Theatre have put on some incredible stuff over the last year or so. And I'm looking forward to seeing everything else that comes our way. Going back to The Witches, the choreography was Stephen Meir, and obviously he works a lot with Matthew Bourne, etc. And I just thought the choreography on The Witches was fantastic, particularly in that Bruno moment where he's, you know, talking about sweets and getting that sugar rush, and then it goes into that ridiculous tap number. I was like, just building up to that. I hope that's not a spoiler alert, but it was just brilliant, absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And if people can grab a ticket last minute, I imagine there aren't many tickets left. I imagine it's gonna pretty much be sold out, but it was a great show, and if it returns, it's a must buy ticket situation.
I think so. Just looking at the website for National Theatre, you're pleased to know there's Life for Grenfell. So it's not going to be in London anytime soon, but it is actually appearing in Brooklyn.
Oh.
So it's actually going across the pond, which is really exciting that a very British story translates well for an American audience.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's only on for a month, but at least it's got some further life.
I can see how that would work, because when I was in New York recently, completely different situation. Grenfell, still, there's guilt, there's blame. The jury's still out there. The inquest, and technically an accident, but also an accident that should and could have been prevented were the right measures taken by the relevant companies and agencies. Obviously, 9/11, a very different situation, but incredible tragic loss of life. Obviously, a terrorist attack. The aftermath is that everywhere you go in New York, you know, outside every fire station, there are plaques to those firefighters who fell. They are, I mean, there was when I was in New York in Times Square, there was a big celebration of the you know, the public services, and it was, you know, the ambulance workers and firefighters, etc. You know, they are local heroes and should be championed more, I think, in the UK. But yeah, so I think that the Grenfell story translating over there, I think I can definitely see why it would work, actually.
Yeah, no, I think so. And, you know, I didn't get to see it, sadly, but if it does come back to London, it's definitely a ticket I want to get my hands on. And just, again, another show that you saw and I missed, The Effect, that's going to be in New York for the month of March.
Oh, really?
So it's really lovely that our British shows are appealing to an American audience. And there is this transatlantic shift, because with the Infinite Lives being a US off-Broadway production coming to London. And again, Hadestown, originally a Broadway show going to the National Theatre and then coming into the West End. So it's nice that there's this almost like pairing of minds and translations of plays and stuff and musicals that are going from one place to the other. So it's really, really exciting. Hopefully there'll be more European-based stuff, maybe some German theatre, because German theatre is actually quite striking, and see how that translates over here as well. But you never know. We'll see.
Yeah. And also when I was in New York, what was that show called? My Son's a Queer. That was just opening out there back in October.
I wonder how that did.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm curious, because that started at the Turbine, or have I made that up in my head? Yeah, it was.
It was. No, that's correct. Yeah, it was at the Turbine Theatre first.
So it was a very, you know, small fringes of London production.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was in a big theatre.
On Broadway, yeah. But it's, you know, it's nice those kind of stories get a bigger platform for more people to see them, really.
Yeah. Well, fabulous, Darren. And when you get back from Spain, I imagine you've got a plethora of shows to go see.
Oh, my diary's getting very booked up. What about yours?
Yeah, it looks busy at the end of January going into the... There's a lot of shows opening at the start of February. Next week, I'm taking the entire Year 8 to Mrs. Doubtfire, but I'm not sure what more I can say about that, because I have reviewed it already and done interviews backstage with some of the cast members. But yeah, looking forward to seeing the students' faces and doing all the activities around that. But yeah, a lot of great shows opening. We've got quite a few press nights coming up, and I'm looking forward to most, I think, standing at the Sky's Edge because of the glowing review you gave it, and I know that we're at the press night for that, so I'm really, really up for that one.
Yeah, me too. I'd be nice to see what they do with it differently moving from the National Theatre to the West End. I know the cast is different. Which is interesting enough. So yeah, we'll see what they do with it. But I guess until next time, I'm going to be back on the beach tomorrow, just having a little stroll around in the sunshine before I fly home on Thursday.
Oh, I'm going to be marking mock exam papers and preparing students for their performance exam.
Wow.
So until the next time.
Until the next time. Why not grab a ticket to one of the shows mentioned in this podcast? Tune in next time and recommend us to your friends and family.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. Until the next time, goodbye, and thank you for listening.